Welcome to the Church on the Way podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. We hope it blesses you and encourages you in the faith. Enjoy the message.
So I just want to say it one more time. If you were here last week, you know what I'm going to say, and that is this. Together as a church in 2019, let's go exploring. Let's say that again. Let's go exploring. We're going to get after what God has for us in this new year. And can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Not only as a church, but individually. I've been reading in Genesis 1, the beginning of Genesis, as we start the year off by reading in the Old Testament in the very beginning of the Bible, and reading about the earth that's formless and void. God created the earth in the beginning, but at some point it became formless and void, and it said the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. And the Spirit of the Lord was there, and the Lord started speaking life into existence. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be sun and moon. Let there be land. Let there be water. Let there be plants. Let there be animals. And he starts speaking into existence what before was formless and void and didn't have anything going on. And as I'm reading that, and it's interesting that we chose this song this morning about creation, singing his praises, and God speaking over and seeing a multiplication of life happen. Because I think about my life and I think about your life, and sometimes we look at a year and we look at the year to come and we think it seems a little bit formless and void and empty. We don't know what the year is going to hold. We're, like I said a little earlier, we're a little bit afraid of what we may step into. We're not sure. To us, we look at 2019, 2019, and we say, Lord, I know I've got a lot of appointments and I've got schedules and I've got things to do, but at the end of the year, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure what I'm going to face. I'm not sure that the shaping of what you want for my life has happened yet in this next year. But the great thing is that God will hover over the surface of your life, even if you feel like it's formless and void, and he speaks life into it. He says, let there be light. Let there be light. You may feel like there's darkness in places of your life that you don't sense there's any light. Can you hear this morning from the Lord that he is saying to you, let there be light? There may be places in your life that you feel are dead and forgotten and dried up. Can you hear this morning the Lord hovering over that area in your life and saying, let there be life. Let there be life. Let there be light. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. Even in the places where we already feel like our world is shaped, we have schedules, we have a job, we have something to do. We don't feel like our world is void or formless. We feel like it's almost overformed. And yet we're thinking, how are we ever going to be effective this year? So many of us buy books at the beginning of the year. We want to learn how to be effective. We want to learn how to ditch all the things that make us ineffective. And then we get like 5 or 6 days into the year and we've already forgot our New Year's resolutions. Let me do a little test here. How many of you 6 days into 2019 are killing your New Year's resolutions? You're just totally there. You've done it all. Go ahead, be bold. Raise your hand. Be proud, okay? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. You? Really, Abby? Go, girl. Go. I totally affirm it if you're one of the people that raise their hand saying, I've made it 6 days. But how many of the rest of us feel just a little bit ashamed? Like, I had this plan that I was going to do. I was going to be at the gym every day of this year. So far, I've been one day, right? I wanted 2019, I mean, listen, 2019 came in with a roar. I mean, it was a great birthday and a great celebration. And then I came down sick, and all of my thoughts about being in shape and going running and eating well and everything else just went out the window. And so now it's January 6th. Now I got to wait 51 more weeks to start New Year's resolutions again. Do you ever feel like that? You're like, oh, I've already blown it. So now I got to wait till the new year. Can I remind you that God's mercies are not new every year, they are new every morning. Every morning. God's mercies are new for you right now. So if you've blown it, you said, I wanna stay pure, and you've already blown it. I wanna eat clean, and you've already blown it. I wanna think right, and you've already blown it. I wanna be in my word, and you've already blown it. I wanna tell you this morning, God's mercies are new on January 6th, 2019, just as much as they are on January 1st. And you need to hear that from the heart of God. that he speaks to you and he says, not only is he going to shape something that's formless, but he's going to bring fruitfulness to something that's there. When God spoke to the first humans, he'd already made plants, he'd already made animals, and then he made humans, and he said this, not only are you to be fruitful and multiply, but you're to steward the plants and the animals and the earth. You're to steward the things that are supposed to be fruitful and supposed to be multiplying. And so they got after it and they started working the ground. And if you've ever worked the ground, you know that something may grow for a while in a certain soil or a certain season, but then you go back and you have to tweak it a little bit. I want to tell you this morning that I don't know this from personal experience because I can't grow anything. I can't grow anything. I've tried gardening before and it doesn't work for me. The garden knows who I am and says, oh yeah, you think something's going to grow there? And I don't know, but we have people in our church that are master gardeners, and they were one of these guys was in first service, and he was nodding at me, so I'm guessing that I was right, because he wasn't like standing up saying I was wrong. But I don't know much about soil, but I know certain things grow in certain soil. Maybe you've heard this story before. I've told it in the church, but it's a fun story. I should probably tell every few years just to remind you how dumb your pastor is. But when we, that was supposed to be funny. I said that and you all start praying, oh Lord, make our pastor smart, oh God. When Deborah and I moved to Oregon to pastor a church and we were getting ready to move into our first house and we were looking at the real estate listings, one of the real estate listings says the backyard was full of fruit trees and I got so excited. I mean, I was like excited, bouncing off the walls excited. And Deborah finally caught on and she's like, Tim, what kind of fruit trees do you think are growing back there? I'm like, they probably have avocados and oranges and grapefruits. And man, it's going to be like heaven. It's paradise. And she said, Tim, avocados and oranges and grapefruits don't grow in Oregon. And I said, then what are we doing here? Just kidding. It was like, you know, apples and cherries and what? Pears. Yeah, I don't even know to this day what grows in Oregon. But there's certain soil that doesn't grow certain things. There's other times when you start growing something and it works for a long time and it grows and it grows and it grows, but you get to a point where that same soil isn't producing the same way. And so you have to do something to it. You have to fertilize it. You have to irrigate it different. You have to bring some different kind of soil in. You have to try something different. And so many of us have been growing our life in the same soil for so long and just going on autopilot instead of being sensitive to the voice of the Lord saying, hey, you might want to try something different this year. You may want to try to adjust something this year so that you can see your life thrive and be fruitful and multiply. And I'm reminded that we can this year start again and adjust our lives for fruitful multiplication. For every one of us, that can be true, but it's also true for our church. Let me give you an example of one thing, because listen, as long as you're at the Church on the Way and as long as I'm the pastor at the Church on the Way, every season we're going to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that we're doing that we need to adjust to see fruitful multiplication happen? Wouldn't you rather be a part of a church that's always seeking the Lord to know what to adjust to see fruitful multiplication than get stuck in a rut and does the same thing for 40 years? Anybody? Okay. A few of you probably still want to be stuck in a rut, but most of you said amen. So one of the things we're going to be doing at the church is in the last 2 years, we've had a pattern called Encounter, which is our second Sunday night, and we come together to worship and to pray and to intercede. Listen, we're still going to worship and pray and intercede, but we're going to approach that differently. So what we've seen happen over the season is we do this thing from the platform up here, and it's a big room, and we're trying to fill the room, and we're trying to do enough to fill the room. And what we've realized without knowing it is it's become a little bit overproduced, and it's become a little bit, never a show, because that's nobody's heart on our team at all, but it's become a little bit overproduced for what God wants to do. He's calling us back to an organic expression. And so some of you may know, if you're like me and you like food and you like new restaurants, you see these things called pop-ups happen sometimes, where these famous chefs will go into a place and design a kitchen just in like a couple of weeks, and then they'll pop up and open up a restaurant for 2 or 3 days or even just one night, and then it's over. If you don't make it to the pop-up, you missed it. And something we've been feeling led to in this first season of this year is pop-up worship and prayer nights. Amen. That sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So how's this going to work? Well, we've got a number of locations where we're going to be praying and worshiping together Encounter night is going to be focused on worship and praising the Lord and just giving him our praise and singing and letting the gifts of the Spirit manifest. And then our intercession nights, which will be separate, but hopefully once a month for each of these things. Our intercession nights, we're going to come together. We may sing a song or two to begin, but we're going to spend some time on our face crying out to the Lord and interceding for our church, our city, our world, and just going for it. And so we're going to do these in some different spaces, though. So, for instance, yesterday morning, 65 of us gathered at the Barrington Avenue campus in West LA that we're going to be launching here in the next few months. And we prayed through the campus, and the Holy Spirit was there. And it was awesome. And there was no sound system, and there was no music, and there was no anything. We just came together and prayed, and the Lord spoke, and really great things happened. Next Sunday night, we're going to do Encounter, our worship night, and it's not going to be in here. It's going to be in a building called the Cornerstone. Yes. And you may not know what the Cornerstone is. If you've only come here for the last 5 years, you have no idea what the Cornerstone is unless you have high school kids or young adult kids that meet there, or maybe you're a part of the senior adults class, although that's happening right now in second service, so you're probably not. It's the building beyond the prayer chapel before you get to the corner of Sherman Way and Van Nuys. And that little building that used to be, I think it was a pizza place, or I can't even remember what it was, years ago, is a place where maybe you could fit a couple hundred people in there, and we're going to just organically come together and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to be all in the same place together. Instead of a big high platform, we're all on the same level, and we're going to worship Jesus, and we're going to press in, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit come, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fall and to engage our lives and encounter us. And then the next month in February, we're going to do the Encounter worship time down in West LA and invite you to come down there. And then on, I think, a Saturday night or a Sunday night, we're going to pray and intercede in this room. But it's one of the things that we feel like, instead of getting stuck in a rut and using the same soil and saying, hey, how come this isn't fruitful and multiplying? We are saying, Lord, you've called us to fruitful multiplication, and we will do whatever it takes, even if it's a little bit outside the box. Because one of the things about this is that because we're in smaller spaces and we're scattered around and we're making these decisions 4 or 5 weeks out, we are not for the next season going to actually do kids ministry during that. And some of you, you go, oh, I love coming to Encounter, but I need a place for my kids to go. Well, there's a couple of options. First option is this. I think children need to learn to worship God. Amen. I think children can learn how to pray. So bring your kids along with you. Can you imagine in 2019, bringing your kids along with you? Or maybe you'd say, well, I just need to get a babysitter because that'll work best. And that's fine too. We're going to work it out. And if we start to progress through this thing and we realize that we need to somehow provide childcare or children's ministry or something, we'll do what we need to do. I want to be a church that is flexible and open to the moving of the Spirit and see what God will do. See, when we started, we can clap for that, not for me, but for God. I want to be honest with you, when we started thinking about this and processing it, we kept running into what ifs and what abouts. You know what those are? You're like, okay, let's do this. Oh, but what about kids ministry? Let's do this. Oh, what about space? And what if more people come than we have room for? And what about parking? And what about? Anybody ever done a what about in your life? You know what you're supposed to do, but then the what about gets in your way. And we finally stopped and said, you know what, Lord? If you're asking us to do this, we are not going to worry about the what about. You will show us what to do about the what about. And we don't have to have it all figured out and planned ahead of time. We're just going to take a step into the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant, and we're going to lead. We're going to follow your lead, and wherever you lead us, you'll figure out the what abouts. You have what abouts in your life too. The Lord has spoken to you in your life about things that he wants you to do, and you desperately want to say yes, but you're saying, what about this? What about my bank account? What about this relationship? What about this thing? And God says, I'm calling you to something great, and I want to do something great through you. You leave the whatabouts to me. You give them to me and start stepping in obedience, and I'll meet you on your way. Amen. God wants to tell you that this morning, and I believe that's a word for some of you. You've been stuck in something, and you know the way out, but you're worried about the whatabout. Hey, that rhymes. You know the way out, but you're worried about the what about, and God wants to do a new thing in and through you. God wants to do a new thing in and through us. Whether it's formless and empty and it needs defining and shaping, or it's already planted and it needs cultivation and stewardship, I want to lead us into engaging those things together. Anybody ready to embrace new things in your life and embrace new things in our church? Guys, God loves you, And he's created you because he wants you to thrive. He wants you to thrive not only in this world, but for eternity. God loves our city, and he calls us to our city to reach it. And he's going to call us to things that are bigger than we can accomplish. And he's going to give us the ability to do it. I want us to be prayerfully sensitive to what the Lord may be calling us as a congregation to, but I want you as a person, as each person here, to be prayerfully sensitive to what God may be calling you to. And we have a tradition in our church. It's been a tradition for a long time. We don't always have to do it, but this year we felt called to again. Usually we do it last week, the Sunday between Christmas and Easter. One Sunday between Christmas and Easter, yeah. The Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, we stop and we pause, part of our pause series where we just stop and say, Lord, we want to hear your voice. Lord, we don't want to keep just moving ahead with our own plans. Lord, we never want to keep moving ahead with our own plans, but right now at the beginning of the year, we realize it's a season where we can stop and slow down and listen well. And so what we do usually during that Sunday, we're going to do this Sunday, is we write prayers out to God for our year. And we write prayers. Some of you, all of you came in and you had an envelope and a piece of paper either on your seat or under your seat. And in a minute, we're going to take that paper out and we're going to write prayers to the Lord about 2019. What is Jesus wanting to do in and through you this year? What are the things you are feeling, sensing him calling you to, but you've got a what about and you're saying, Lord, I don't know how to get over this. What are the things, how are the ways that you're going to approach God in worship this year? And then what happens is halfway through the year, because you self-address it, which means you put your own name and address on the envelope and you give it to us and you seal it and nobody will ever look at it. I promise, 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 promise. It's safe and everything you write is confidential. But halfway through the year, we're going to put a stamp on the envelope and we're going to send it back to your house. And what's going to happen, because none of us ever get personal mail, you're going to get a personal letter in the mailbox and you're going to say, I wonder who wrote me a letter. And then you're going to look at the handwriting and you're going to say, this looks like my handwriting. And I promise most of you are going to completely forget that you did this until you open it and go, oh yeah, the prayer I had at the beginning of the year. And I want to make this clear. Because you could write a prayer of commitment and move ahead and I want to do new things, Lord, and I want to get after the things you're shaping in me. And we all know that halfway through the year, you might have given up on some of those dreams. You might have forgotten about some of those prophecies. You might have forgotten about some of those things God wanted to do in you. And you read it again and the enemy will want to immediately attack you with shame. But that's not why we're sending it to you. Not so that you can be shamed about what you didn't accomplish, but to remind you what God can still do in you in the year. Because right now it's all new and fresh, but by the middle of the year it's not new and fresh anymore. We want to remind you that God still has his eye on you and that he still wants to shepherd you to get done with your 2019 with grace and thriving and mercy and purpose and vision and provision. And we believe that if you write that letter today, it'll help you stay on track. So we're going to provide time to stop and pause and engage God for our year in a minute, this service. And then we're going to finish by coming to the cross. We're going to come to communion. We have communion tables set up behind each section. And when you're done writing the letter, you're going to get up and just move to the back of your section and receive the bread that represents the body of Christ that was broken for you so that you could live a whole life, and receive the cup that represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled for you so that you could be forgiven for your sins. And then we're going to come together and worship, because God is looking for a worshiping people. God is looking for a worshiping people. And before we get after the year and get back to a full worship team and our Vision Sunday and where we're going and what we're doing, can you agree with me that before we ever put a moment to a plan, before we ever write one sentence of a plan that God wants for our church, that we first ought to be identified as a worshiping people? Amen. We need to be a worshiping people. That's who we are. That's what we've been called to be, is collectively committed to him, individually committed to him. There's no end to what we can do if we are available to him.
Thanks for listening to the Church on the Way podcast. If this message has impacted you, or if you would like to support the ministries of the Church on the Way, please visit thechurchontheway.org and click on the Give tab. We hope this has been a blessing to you. Subscribe to receive a fresh word every week.